Student athletes are some of the most recognizable faces on a college campus. Fans and students may know their name and number, but most do not know their story. On this week's Carolina Cast, I got to sit down with Jill Shippey, a thrower for the UNC Chapel Hill track and field team. Last season, Jill was one of the top throwers in the country, but during the first round of the NCAA, Jill fouled out and was disqualified.
And I remember watching it go in the cage and like my heart just like sunk.
In this podcast, Jill talks about how she got into throwing, what led her to come to UNC, what happened at the NCAA, and how the community of student athletes on campus helped her get over her loss.
So I grew up in upstate New York, definitely not Manhattan girl, more of like a suburban. I have an older brother, and he always played every sport, and I kind of wanted to follow in that. And I tried every sport. I played everything from softball to basketball, taekwondo, soccer, everything. And then eventually in eighth grade, I had a gym coach who, he was the track and field coach, the throws coach, and he came up to me in one of the gym classes, and he said, you know, like, you're pretty strong, like, you're built, like, pretty large. He's like, why don't you want to come out for the track team? And I was like, I don't want to run. And he basically said, no, like, don't worry about it, like, there's track and field. Like, he's like, we can do the throwing events, shot put, discus, whatever you want. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe, and like kind of blew him off for the indoor season. And then he came back around when it was time for the spring season and said, why don't you come out for outdoor track? And I said, okay, I guess I'll try it. So like went home, told my parents, and they were like, yeah, we've never like watched shot put before, like, but go for it. Like, if you want to do it, do it. And so I was like, okay. So I went out to practice and absolutely hated it. I was like, this is so boring. There's so much standing around. Like, how do people find this fun? Stuck with it though, and continued throughout the season, progressed really quickly and did pretty well. And then I decided to come back the next year, my freshman year of high school. Once I got to high school, like our, like my area is very big in soccer. We have a lot of good soccer people come out of the area. So I wanted to be a soccer player. And in high school, I like told myself the whole time, like, yep, I want to go to college, play soccer. That's what I'm going to do. And then, you know, track and field came along. But I played 4 years of high school soccer, 3 years of varsity, and it was a really good time. But I honestly credit a lot of that to, like, my, like, success now. Is I know a lot of people bring up, like, the specialization in sport, and that's honestly, like, something that has helped me grow into the athlete I am now is not having specialized too early and kind of keeping all those options open. And my parents were really good about that, too. They didn't force anything on me. They just wanted me to do what I wanted to do and have fun and grow myself throughout sport. Started getting recruited junior year, and then kind of decided that I was going to stop my other sports and go full-blown track. So since my junior year, I was kind of all into track, quit soccer, still played for my high school team, but quit the club stuff, took up a lot of time. So invested everything I had into track and field come senior year. And then the first offer I actually got was my fall of junior year, and the Stanford coach offered me a full scholarship to go to Stanford. Yeah, so Stanford was the first one, and right off the bat, they were like, yeah, like the numbers you've given, like, given us so far is, you know, you can get a full scholarship. And I was like, all right. Told my mom and dad, I went home, I showed them the email, and they were like, all right. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Stanford. And they said, you know what, like, don't decide too soon. Like, you still have another year and a half. Let's play it out and whatever. And I was just, like, so eager. Like, I was so happy. And then my junior year, like, more letters and calls and emails came in from pretty much, like, all of the ACC pretty much. And then a lot of the SEC out west, Stanford. I talked to Cal, a lot of the other California schools. And then I didn't really want to go anywhere up north. I really wanted to come down here just because I'm done with the snow. up in New York, we shoveled our way out of a lot of winters, and I wanted to be able to train year-round and like be outside year-round. So I really wanted to stick to the South, North Carolina, Florida, South Carolina, Virginia. Those were like, that was my target zone. So my official visits, I went to UNC, Duke, and Kentucky, and then I also went to, was that it? UNC, Duke, Kentucky, and Virginia, sorry. And the other schools, like, I love them. They're all great schools. And but at UNC, like, when I was just walking around the campus, everyone was just so happy. Like, I had gone to Duke the week before, and night and day. Like, the people on Duke's campus was, like, nobody smiled. Like, like, it's all the stereotypes are true. Like, I went to that campus, and it was actually my number one going into my visits, and just ended up not liking it, and UNC was the one. I signed to UNC in November of my senior year, and was really excited, and came in the fall of 2017. loved it right off the bat. Like, there was never a moment when I've been here so far and I've said, I hate my decision. Like, I loved every second of it. The biggest thing about UNC, honestly, is the community. And the community of athletes we have is so close-knit. I think there's about 800 athletes, but, like, honestly, you know everyone. Like if you, like, just walk around Loudermilk, walk around the athletic facilities, like, you can, like, you feel like you're at home. And it's great because we all kind of support each other, too. Like, I have, my roommates are on the soccer team, the basketball team, and the lacrosse team. And, like they all come to the meets. They come to our meets, our home meets at Duke, and, like, we go to all their games. So it's kind of cool, like, going up to, like, a lacrosse game and seeing the football team there, the basketball team, the soccer team. Like, it's just fun. And they've really, like, we support each other because we all kind of know what it feels like to go through these things. And, we struggle and we succeed, and throughout it all, like, you know that you have that Carolina community behind your back.
So we're here with fellow Connection reporter Jared Weber to talk a little bit more about Jill's story.
Thanks, Jackson. Yeah, so I think one of the things that popped out to me was that she really, like, thought she was going to be a soccer player for a while there. So what were the influences that swayed her from pursuing soccer to pursuing throwing in college?
Yeah, so Jill really wanted to be soccer the way she would get to college. She really wanted that to be her way. But, however, her track and field coach, the throws coach, really kind of steered her more towards track and field. This dude, as she said, was very influential in her life, like almost like a parental figure, she said. He was always there. He was became a very close family friend.
And then, like, keeping that same vein of coaching staffs, isn't it true that Shippey had prior connections to the current UNC track and field staff before they were here?
Yeah, so as you heard Jill say not too long ago, one of her first offers was from Stanford, a full ride from Stanford. What's funny is that the Stanford coaching staff is now the current UNC track and field staff.
Wow. Okay, gotcha. Okay, cool. I mean, and I guess other notes, that Duke part was pretty hilarious.
That Duke part was hilarious. When she was talking about that, I almost died laughing.
This past year was my sophomore year, and we had a pretty rough start to the year. The outdoor season, I kind of had like a little back injury, and I missed our spring break trip to Georgia Tech. So I took about 2 weeks off. I'd pulled one of my spinal like rotary muscles, and so I was kind of like immobile for a little bit, but came back and was still able to compete early and put out some good numbers early. And I was up there, I think in like top 10 NCAA early, made my way to the top 5 around April. And from there, like, it was like, all right, like, let's go. Let's place top 3 at NCAAs. Like, this is, like, going to be the vision. Like, we can do it. Like, 1-2 at ACCs, that'd be great. And we got to 2 weeks out from ACCs. We were at Florida for a meet. And it was supposed to be a tune-up for postseason, just kind of get a decent mark out there, like, feel comfortable with the technique and everything. And I had fouled out, which in throwing is, like, 3 throws. You don't, like, they're not legal. They either go out of the sector, you're out of the circle, or there's not legal throws. And that disqualifies you. So 2 weeks out from ACCs, I fouled out of a meet in Florida and was kind of like, took that at, like, that was a big hit for me. Like, going right into championship season, you don't want to be fouling. And so we kind of regrouped. And the week before ACCs was finals week, I got a stomach bug over finals week. So I was out for about a week, had to take all my finals on the same day, which is a very stressful time. And then 2 days later, we left for ACCs. We go to ACCs, and I was just kind of like, all right, whatever happens, happens. Like, didn't really have too much prep. Like, let's just go and do it with an open mind. And then ended up PRing lifetime best, won ACCs, and I was, like, on top of the world. And 2 weeks later, we had first round of NCAAs. Like, leading up to that meet, like, I was very anxious about it. I don't know why. Like, I was very confident, but I was also like, oh, wow, like, this is the only meet where you only get 3 throws to advance. And a lot of pressure, like, does go on each and every one of those throws. So going into even the warm-up rounds, like, my body, I don't know what it was. I was ready the week before, and then right when, like, probably about an hour out from competition, like, I just felt like I was, like, exhausted. And, like, my body just felt so tired, and I was warming up, like, running around, and I was like, oh, no, this is not good. Like, got, like, snap out of it. Like, you just got to get, like, one decent throw. Like, doesn't have to be a PR. Doesn't have to be anything close. It's just, like, one good throw to get you in that top 12. And took about 6 warm-up throws, which usually I only take about 2 to 3. And I was just cranking them out. Hopefully I get something good. And official finally said, all right, it's time to go. So first throw, not good at all. I don't even think I completed it. Like, I fouled it. And then I was like, all right, like, refocus. Like, really just get one. You have 2 left. Like, get it in. And second throw, tried really hard, did not go in. And then third throw, I was kind of questioning myself, oh, well, should I, like, change my technique? Should I do three turns instead of four? Like, all this, like, all these thoughts going through my head. And finally, like, official called my name, time to go back in the circle, take the third throw. And I was like, you know what, just let it go. Whatever happens, happens. Like, try not to put too much pressure on it. But again, in the back of your mind, like, you're thinking, okay, you have to get this throw in. Like, it doesn't even have to be that far. Like, just something. And I remember watching it go in the cage, and, like, my heart just, like, sunk. Like, and everyone, like, it was very awkward because a lot of people, like, everyone knows what everyone's supposed to throw, and everyone knows your PR and whatnot. Especially those in the ACC, like, had known, like, saw what I did 2 weeks before and probably were expecting me to easily qualify. And once that third throw hit the cage, I, like, I didn't start crying in the moment, but I, like, in my head, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, hold it in, hold it in, hold it in. And I was, like, walking out, grabbed my shoes. My coach, like, patted me on the back and said, like, I'm so sorry. I walked out, and, like, everyone was, felt like all the eyes were on me, and, like, it was a horrible feeling and something I never want to feel again. But I remember just, like, walking out and just, like, started crying, like, the emotions hit, and I was like, oh, like, that just happened. And, like, I don't mind people, like, saying, oh, like, I'm so sorry, like it's nice to, like, have people there and, like, have the reassurance and, like, have just, like, a body there to, like, acknowledge what happened, because, like, a lot of people will just try to, like, act like it didn't happen. And, like, I'm one of those people, like, when something bad happens to someone, I'm like, oh, act like it didn't happen, play it off cool. But, like, honestly, like, it's nice to just, like, have someone just, like, pat you on the back. You don't have to say anything, but just say, like, oh, like, get them next time, or, like, something like that. That's really nice. But yeah, it's definitely, like, really an awkward situation. I know, like, a lot of the other teams' coaches came up to me and said, like, oh, like, so sorry, like, what happened? Like, they're asking me all these questions, like, asking me to analyze, and I'm like, I don't want to analyze right now. Like, I just, like, want to let this moment pass and move on. So right after it happened, I called my parents, and because they weren't there, they were planning on going to Austin, Texas to the final round. Called them, told them, they had been watching on the live results, so they were still, like, a little lagging behind, but I was crying. I was a mess. And I called them and told them, and they were like, you know what, like, don't worry about it. Like, this isn't the end of your career. Like, you're more than this. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you have, I had a summer internship this past summer. And they're like, you have so many things to look forward to. Like, this doesn't define you. Like, you're more than just, like, the athlete who didn't qualify for the final round NCAA. And I went back home, like I said, to the lacrosse girls, and they all kind of, like, picked me up too. They had just lost, so we were all kind of struggling together. But we all just kind of, like, reassured each other that, like, we may compete in our UNC uniform, and we're going to compete on the field, on the track, in the circle. But at the end of the day, like, when we take that uniform off, like, we are who we are. And we're more than just, like, that failure or that success. And in the good times and the bad, you have to remember that. And my parents kind of brought that out in me. And they've been behind me through everything, like, whether it be winning ACCs and breaking the record, or losing in Florida at fouling out, or whatever it is. They've always been behind me, and so has my friends. And it's been a really really welcoming community since then, and it's felt good to kind of bring it all back home. Seems counterintuitive, but I think, honestly, like, having the stomach bug and having all of those exams, like, in the same day right before ACCs, like, helped me not focus on the meet. So, like, I always do better when I'm not focused on what's going on, and, like I don't put too much pressure on one thing. So I think that really helped me going into ACCs. And then when we went to the first round of NCAAs and I didn't do well, I think I just had it all in my head. And, you know, like, I was thinking too much, and I had all these expectations and everything. Like, going into this meet, was the only thing I was thinking about was qualifying and, like, going to Austin and whatever. But I think that, like, having that outlet and just, like, having something else to think about other than sport all the time is really helpful to your performance in general. Like, a lot of people say, oh, well, like, eat, sleep, train. Like, that doesn't work for me. It may work for some people, but personally, like, if I think about throwing all the time, I'm not going to throw it well. Like, I need an outlet for my brain to think about something other than that. I probably would have struggled a lot more not having them and not having my teammates to kind of, like, back me up. And, like, in the heat of the moment, like, your teammates are there for you, and it's kind of awkward. Like, you don't know what to say. Like, they were all hoping to celebrate, but one of my other teammates, he was hoping to qualify, and he didn't, so we kind of mourned together on the way home. The flight home was a little sad one, but we both just kind of reassured each other, like, you know, like, we're more than this, and, like, we have bigger things ahead of us. We still have 2 more years, so just look forward to the future and working hard after that. I think that it's really important to build those relationships within your team so that you can support each other in those times, and with also outside your team. Like, having a support group, like your family or your friends, is really important. So currently in North Carolina right now, we are training outside, which is great. But we are training a lot. So while we're in school, like we train 20 hours a week. So we don't have too much free time. But in that free time, me and my friends, we like to play sand volleyball. Like we're really active. So we like to play sand volleyball. We'll go on bike rides. We at home with my friends at home, like I'm from kind of the mountain area. So we go snowboarding, hiking, kayaking, like all that. So anything to keep us busy is good. So this season we have all new coaches, which is awesome. And we have a fresh start. So a lot of the holes we had in the past are being filled in terms of like communication and just team culture being changed up a lot. So we have a new throws coach, and he comes from Stanford. So he was out there, and he had a lot of decent amount of All-Americans there. And so we're hoping that he can bring his knowledge to us. So yeah, we have a good indoor season starting off in January, and indoor season is usually the rough one, but it's short and sweet. But outdoors is what we're really looking forward to, and hopefully mending some of those broken hearts in the outdoor season, and accomplishing some of the things I wish I did last year. Definitely out for redemption this year. I am a sport administration major, and I'm pretty much in all sport administration classes. And it's like, that's also a good little community too, is the sport admin community. We have great professors. They know sport, so they're able to like kind of talk to us about some of these things. And it's also like great, like Dr. Malikoff is one of my professors, and I saw him outside of the classroom the other day, and we just had a great conversation about like just NCAA athletics. Like he's a great wealth of knowledge. I think he was an assistant athletic director at Harvard, so he has like great experience. And it's awesome just having like those little genuine, organic like conversations with your professors outside of class. And that's also something that like I love about Carolina, is that all the professors we have here are so so talented and like so knowledgeable about their field that they can spark a conversation with anything. And you can meet with them and talk to them about something within like your career path or anything you want to, or you can meet with them and talk about your favorite ice cream flavor. Like you don't know like what it is. Like they're just great people. And the Carolina staff here is from the professors to the athletic training staff to our communication staff to everything we have here. They're just awesome, and that's also a community that's just so supportive of us all the time.
Jill is a fantastic example of what it means to be a student athlete. Through sickness, injuries, and disappointing performance, Jill has persisted in improving herself athletically and academically. She is not allowing her failure to qualify for the NCAA finals to define her. Jill's story is a good example of the importance of support groups and to not let your failures define you. Jill is a member of the track and field team, but underneath the jersey, she is an individual with an incredible story. We'll be revisiting this theme in future episodes and sitting down with more UNC athletes to share their stories on and off the field. Thank you for listening.